You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
After all the hilarity of welcoming the new year, how does it look on the morning after?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us this day and tomorrow, not just another morning after, but a new day, filled with your grace and kindness, and with faith in Jesus Christ to accept your goodness, your forgiveness, your life, which is life indeed, with love, joy, and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The morning after presents the real challenge, the morning after the wedding, or the funeral, the morning after the big binge, or the terrific disappointment. The morning after tells the real story, when things are seen again in the pale light of reality that must be faced. In the gray dawn of the morning after, people generally wake up to what is fact instead of fiction. Yesterday they were riding high. Today the high looks mighty low. The new year, begun with hope, and even with hilarity in the wee hours of January 1, does not look so promising on January 2, the morning after. For millions of people all over the world, the morning after is touched with gloom. This is what happens to people who have no real faith to sustain the future, who are, as St. Paul said, without God and without hope in the world. Paul himself once had his mornings after like that. A great thing happened to him to change all of that. Now life began anew for him, every morning. In jail, on his morning after, Paul wrote to his good friends in Philippi who had come to know Jesus Christ, just as he had. Brethren, join in imitating me, and mark those who so live as you have an example in us. For many, of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. What a difference it makes to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. How different it is from the lives of people whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame because they set their minds purely on earthly things. Our commonwealth, our citizenship, said Paul, is in heaven. Our allegiance is to Jesus Christ the Lord. And in this loyalty, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. That's life, real life. It takes the gloom out of the morning after. It puts joy into the morning after. It's light and hope for the morning after. It's a whole new way of life, good for every morning throughout the year. St. Paul could have had that barbed wire mentality which characterizes the lives of people all over the world. During World War II, there was a disease known as barbed wire sickness. It afflicted those behind barbed wire in prison camps. It was nothing that could be treated by a physician, for the illness was really not physical at all. It was a disease of mind and spirit, something that affected people who were shut up in one place for a long time. It made them wild and desperate. It turned them into cruel and unreasonable brutes. It made them do things that they themselves could not explain. You can see that sickness all over the world today. You find it among people who are never imprisoned behind barbed wire. They're just fenced in by the world. And their souls are hemmed in by the desires, which St. Paul called the desires of the flesh, which run to physical satisfaction as the end goal of life, and also to vain ambition, envy, selfishness, hatred, and the powerful urge to get even with others at whatever cost. The big sickness of our world is sickness of soul, where people have no faith that something great is on the way, and only despair over what will eventually come their way. It's no wonder that people chafe and rebel like a man in prison. They become mean and small and selfish, easily discouraged, and quickly upset. You may be one of those people who have the barbed wire sickness. It's your morning after. You look at the new year not with faith, but with fear. You're terribly afraid of what the future will bring. You wonder how you will manage your finances since your spouse has died. You're worried about how you're going to make it now that your divorce has become final. You have to tell your family what your doctor just told you, that you are terminally ill. The new year threatens to be a downer for you. You're all fenced in. You are afraid. You have a lot of company to calm their fears and settle their nerves. A lot of people spent a wild New Year's Eve at parties that ended up with a terrific hangover the next day. They sought romance with somebody else's spouse and gossiped about the problems of others in order to relieve their own apprehensions. Now, on the morning after, they are ashamed. They feel fenced in, now more than ever before. That's no way to live. You know it and I know it. But what other options have we got? Is there no way out from this concentration camp where we have imprisoned ourselves with our own emotions, our own desires, our own wayward human dispositions and ambitions? Piety is not the answer. Many pious people feel just as imprisoned as those who have no piety at all. The Bible cuts through all of that piety and impiety. One solution, one way of escape, one road leads out of the chaos into the clear light of faith focused on Christ, bringing in its wake the gifts of God's Holy Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience or great-heartedness, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, and self-control. How different the morning after looks, with faith instead of fear, with love instead of hate, with a strong gentleness of self-control instead of the wild weakness of despair. What's the cure for barbed wire sickness? The cure is Christ. We wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, said St. Paul. He makes everything different for us. Our citizenship is in the commonwealth of heaven. That's what Christ has done for us. In him, we move into the community of God, the kingdom of heaven. He gives us a whole new outlook on life. With faith in him, we have hope for the future. He turns the winter of our discontent into the warm sunshine of God's grace and favor. Instead of groping around for some way to cover up our guilt, we accept the forgiveness of God, which he gives us freely for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and he was raised from the dead. We live by faith in him. He is Lord. St. Paul said this when he might have had good reason for complaining. He was in jail just because of his faith in Christ. Some people would be turned off from faith by something like that. St. Paul was turned on by the morning after. What we are suffering here, he wrote, is working to help build up the faith of other people. It makes them feel strong to see how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, said St. Paul, then am I strong. Weak by virtue of his own situation, but strong in the Lord. The Lord Jesus knew himself what it's like to have a morning after. The morning after he was born in that stable, in the most humiliating circumstances, the shepherds came from the fields to worship him. They committed their lives to him, going around telling everybody about what they had seen and heard. They went back to the routine of life with an outlook altogether different because of the glory of the Lord. How often the evangelists begin a new paragraph in the four Gospels with the words, "the next day." After his triumphs of preaching and healing, it was always the next day. After his disappointment of being rejected and rebuffed, there was always the next day, always a new mission to perform, new work to do, a new goal to achieve, never satisfied with the past, nor discouraged by it. The Lord greeted each new day as a new opportunity. There was the night he prayed, "If it be your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Then there was the next day. The morning after brought trial, condemnation, and crucifixion. It looked to many people as if there would be no next day after that. Then came the next day. That's the way it is with God. Whose is the kingdom and the power and the glory? The next day, the morning after, the first day of the week, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. That day is not only the first day of the week, it's the first day of life. With faith in him, everyone can experience the glory for himself of a living God doing his thing in our world, giving life, forgiving the past, giving hope for the future, making the morning after a new day, where you put on again the garments of his righteousness, the new clothes, clean and ready to be used to the glory of God and for the benefit of everyone around you. Friend, Christ is your friend. That's the meaning of everything that happened in his crucifixion and resurrection. That's the meaning of his ascension into heaven. He's the Savior, and those who have faith in him await his coming in all his power and glory. By that power and with that glory, he will change our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, for he is Lord of all, with power to subject all things to himself. His power can change your ways, can bring you to follow his way. His power can give you faith, with power to renew your life in love, power to make you a real man or woman, a real boy or girl. He has the power because he is Lord. Surprising as it may seem, many people who call themselves Christians live out their lives like the prisoner behind barbed wire. They go through the outward motions of being Christians with the least amount of effort. If they're trying out their wings, they take the path of least resistance. They don't go to church because that requires too much effort. They don't pray because they don't feel they need to pray. They don't really trust in Jesus Christ because they are not fully convinced that he is the Savior and the Son of God. They come to the morning after death has done its work and tragedy has struck, with all their plans shattered, and they are shattered with them. Paul probably had other plans too. It was not in his design that he would be in jail, but Jesus Christ is Lord wherever you are and whatever your circumstances. He is Lord, and his lordship calls for your faith wherever you are. He calls for faith that trusts him and goes with him all the way. There were Christians in those days who were going the way of the world, too. I've told you before, often, and now tell you even with tears, people who call themselves Christians and do not go with Christ are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. They make gods of their own desires. Their God is their belly. They do the same things people do who do not know Christ. They glory in their shame. Their hearts are only in the things that they can acquire during their lifetimes. Their minds are set on earthly things. But you do not have to go that route. There's another way. The way out of the barbed wire. The way to freedom, borne up on wings like those of eagles. Our commonwealth, our citizenship, is in heaven. And from that vantage point, we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change everything with his great power. And even our lowly bodies will become like his glorious body by that great power which he exercises over the whole world and over everything in it. "Brothers," said Paul, "join in imitating me as I sit here in prison. Have confidence in the Lord. that everything will come out all right. Join in imitating me and keep an eye on those people who live in such a way as you have an example in us. Do you want to be free? Imitate St. Paul. Believe in Jesus Christ and follow him. Put your eyes on things above rather than on things below. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the mind of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. St. Paul said that. It's pretty difficult to explain a typical forest to someone living in the Arctic wastes or the towering Alps to a desert nomad. It is just as hard to explain heaven to earthbound citizens whose minds are set on earthly things. Heaven also has to be seen in the only way in which it can be seen, with the eyes of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, whose coming the faithful await. He is the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. A few years ago, in one of the largest Midwestern newspapers in the United States, there appeared a huge advertisement. If you had $100,000 and just 1 year to live, how would you spend it? Behind that advertisement was an unusual story. It seems that there was a very wealthy woman who'd been told by teams of medical specialists that she would be dead in less than a year. She sold her business, donated monies to numerous charities, and placed the advertisement, seeking advice on how to spend the rest in the remaining year of her life. Letters poured in from all over the world, bringing many words of advice. Some said, eat, drink, and be merry. Others said, live it up before it is too late. An unexpected 40% of her letters advised her to forget about the money and spend the year getting ready to meet God. Many advised her about the perfect peace she could find in Jesus Christ. Money isn't everything. In fact, it isn't anything at all. Jesus Christ is everything. He is Lord. He turns the morning after into a foretaste of eternity. I wish you a new year of grace. Some of you will experience personal tragedy during this coming year. Some will have nothing more than the blahs, entering a new year which looks just like all the years in the past. Let me wish all of you a glad new year in Jesus Christ. He will make it a truly happy new year. Have your citizenship in heaven awaiting the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul's final word at the end of this great message of hope in the Lord is a kind of New Year's greeting for us all. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm as I do in the Lord, my beloved. Amen.